Our gracious and loving God, your word is always rich and fruitful, and we thank you for it. We thank you too, gracious God, that we never open your word alone, because your Holy Spirit loves the word of God and comes to be our instructor. Graciously send your Holy Spirit to us now, we pray, to touch our minds with understanding and our hearts with love and desire for what we hear, and our wills, O Lord, so that we may embrace and live by that which your word teaches us. Look upon us, O Lord, in our need of you. Come to us, O Lord, and out of your holy word, you who are the good and great shepherd of the sheep, out of your holy word, feed us, your needy flock. We ask it through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now here's a surprise for you straight away. I'm not going to ask you to open your Bibles. There's always something good, isn't there? I just want you to sit and listen and absorb. My first thought in preparing for this service was that I would preach to you from our Lord's story about the unjust judge and the widow who kept pestering him, a sermon on prayer. Because I preached on Ezekiel last Sunday morning, and I doubted my present ability to find a fresh message there to share with you. So I was looking elsewhere. And while I was ferreting around, really preparing my mind to talk to you about prayer, I stumbled across a verse and I thought, that's what I want to say. And please God, it's what the Lord wants me to say to you. And please God again, it's what you're ready to hear, and that it will be a blessing to you. And then I remembered another parallel verse. So what I want to do is share those two verses with you this morning. And I'll do the looking up, and I'll do the reading. And all I want you to do is the listening and the receiving. So here we go. The verse is Genesis chapter 18 and verse 14. And in our Bibles it says, "Is anything too wonderful for the Lord?" And if your memory is good regarding the King James Version on which you grew up, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" And both of them are reasonable translations. Our church Bible, for once, is the more literal translation. "Is anything too wonderful for the Lord?" "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" Genesis 18:14. The word that's translated wonderful and hard is a little bit like our English word supernatural. Something that is beyond the reach of humans, but within the reach of God. Do you follow that? Something that's beyond the reach of humans, but within the reach of God. Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? You see, the situation was this, that Abraham was 100 years old, and his wife Sarah was 90, and God had the audacity to come to them and say, "You're going to have a baby." Now, please don't think of Abraham at the age of 100 as the sort of decrepit old crone that I would be if I ever lived to be 100. You see, Abraham's lifespan was on the verge of 200 years. So at the age of 100, it was 175 actually, at the age of 100, he was a man just past middle life. And Sarah, whose lifespan was a little less than Abraham's, but at the age of 90, she was a woman again, just past middle life. The Bible, in its delicate way, says it had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. So she had experienced the menopause. She'd gone beyond the age of childbearing. And possibly in the ordinary course of events, indeed, certainly in the ordinary course of events, Abraham was beyond child begetting. So here is a man and a woman who can't, in the ordinary way, have a baby. And God has the audacity to say, "But you're going to." Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? Is there anything that is beyond the grasp of man that is not within the grasp of God? Is there anything that we can't do that he can't do? Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Abraham and Sarah were trapped by the passing of the years. The past was over and gone and couldn't be recaptured. Have you ever felt like that? Oh, dear ones, wait till you're my age and you'll feel like that all the time. The past that cannot be recaptured, that cannot be relived. The things done that now can't be done better, and the things left undone that can't now be done at all. It really is. It's one of the burdens of getting old. And Abraham and Sarah were caught in the trap of the passing years. And they were caught in the reality of human incapacity. Paul, when he writes of this incident in Romans, he says Abraham had to take into account his own age and the deadness of Sarah's womb, using actually the word necrosis, the deadness of Sarah's womb. Something that the passing years made irrecoverable, something that human incapacity made impossible. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too wonderful for him? Oh, it would be wonderful if Abraham could become a father and Sarah could become a mother. Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? Right enough, they did have a baby. And at the time that God said they would have it, a little boy named Isaac. Now here's my other verse for you. Have you got that one in mind? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Anything too wonderful? Here's Jeremiah. Ah, Lord God, it is you who made the heavens and the earth by your great power and your outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. And of course, it's the same word. Now, why does our Bible translate it wonderful in one place and hard in the other? Don't ask me. But it's the same word. What does it mean? It means something like supernatural, something that is beyond the reach of man, but within the reach of God. The situation for Jeremiah was like this. He was in Jerusalem, and Jerusalem was besieged by the Babylonians. And Jeremiah's family, his home, was in a little place called Anathoth, which was a few miles outside Jerusalem. So it was absolutely swamped by the Babylonian armies. And Jeremiah had a nephew who was on the make. And the nephew owned a portion of land in Anathoth, that is to say, a land to which he no longer had any access. And he thought Jeremiah was a soft touch. So he came to him and said, I need some money. Will you buy my land in Anathoth? And the Lord had previously said to Jeremiah, your nephew is on his way. Buy the land from him. Because land will yet be bought and sold. It will yet again be in the possession of its rightful owners. The superpower of Babylon is a passing power. Buy the land. It belongs to you. And Jeremiah, as so often, cried out almost in despair at the things that the Lord required him to do. Ah, Lord God, he said, what have you done to me now? I've spent good money on a piece of land that neither I nor any of my family have any human hope of ever recovering. And you tell me to buy it? And I've spent good money on it. Ah, Lord God, he said, you made the heavens and the earth by your great power and your outstretched arm. It's impossible for me. It's impossible even to imagine for my descendants. But nothing is too hard for you. And when the Lord replied to that great cry of Jeremiah, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, see, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? Abraham and Sarah were caught up in personal incapacity. Jeremiah was caught up in circumstantial incapacity. Whatever is the point of buying land which has been snatched by the Babylonians? The superpower, the iron grip. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too wonderful for him? Is there anything beyond the grasp of man that doesn't lie within the grasp of God? And so often you and I, hemmed in by the passing years, hemmed in by human incapacity, are also hemmed in by seemingly unchangeable, rock-hard circumstances. Right. There's a word for us. Is anything too hard for the Lord? I promised you two verses, but of course I'm a deceiver because I want to bring you a third. For a child has been born to us, a son is given to us, authority rests upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful. And it's our old friend back again. His name. That is to say, it is in his very nature. It's the way you can define him. It's what he is in his own person, heart, character, and capacity. He is wonderful. He is supernatural actuality. He is the one who is of capacity when we are of incapacity. He is the one who masters the circumstances which hem and bind us in. His name shall be called Wonderful. Our dear, precious Lord Jesus Christ. So, are you hemmed in by incapacity? Are you smothered by circumstances? You've got a Savior called Wonderful. Turn to him. Rest upon him. Leave it to him. He can do what you cannot do. The things that are beyond our human capacity are within his divine capacity, because his name shall be called Wonderful.